being at City Hall.
Right.
So they criminalized your demonstration out of existence eventually.
Right.
And also, I understand there were some divisions in the homeless movement itself. Some people, you were offered a change in the sleeping ban by some city council members, but others wanted more radical measures?
Yeah. So, you know, there's always that. You know, even when you go to a meeting, you know, you got to sit there and agree on things. So there were divisions at times. And even myself, I wouldn't mind just having, you know, almost like the armory, you know, year-round. At certain time at night, the armory's open, or a sleeping area during the summer. And then at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, it's closed. You know, at least that. It would be nice to have a place 24 hours a day, especially when you have people on our streets that have some difficulties in their lives, mental or alcohol addiction or older. But at least have a place, some places designated that everyone can live with. Some of the places that they've designated here are in the neighborhoods, and that's not going to fly. So, you know, there's some buildings, there's some parking lots, or even the armory could be open during the summertime so that especially people that are homeless or without homes that have real difficulties in their lives could have a place to sleep. And we mentioned that to the city administrator yesterday, and she says, well, they can go to the rescue mission. They go to Sally. Well, they're not accepted there somewhat, some of the people. They don't feel comfortable there.
You're talking about the Salvation Army and the Salvation Army and the rescue mission?
Yeah, they kind of push the religious, you know, tones down people, and some people just don't feel comfortable with it. And they're fearful, too. They just want a place just to not have people, you know, jumping on them. And,
well, you also have, 80,000 people in Santa Barbara. It's almost twice the size of Santa Cruz, or, you know, something like that. And Santa Cruz, in the city, I estimate 500 to 1,500 homeless. You must have, 3,000 homeless people. Well, what are your estimates of the number of homeless in Santa Barbara?
It's probably up there. You know, a lot of people, you know, if you get on the streets or go around and start talking to people, there's a lot of people that don't, you know, aren't visible. You know, so they're, you know, they're either sleeping in the cars or sleeping in other parts of the city. So the real visible ones downtown, you know, are just tip the iceberg of really the people that can't afford and, you know, can't, you know, make it with the small checks they get or their jobs that they work for $6 an hour. So, but they want to live here and they want to be productive, and so, but they're still without a home.
You also have a much larger you have a much larger Hispanic population,
yeah.
And the Hispanic homeless make up a significant segment too.
About half, I would think. So there's even probably more than the 3,000 you mentioned. You know, if you really look at it, you know, in a kind of a way of saying, hey, are they sleeping on people's, you know, sofas or the carpet in the front room or in the car in the backyard or something like that. So there's probably 5,000, 6,000, you know, people without, quotes, homes, you know, in this community. Easy.
You know, and the it's interesting, Santa Barbara is really quite analogous to Santa Cruz. I mean, they're both seaside resort towns. They're both pretty relatively well-to-do communities. Housing costs are off the charts in both communities. They both have a big university nearby. They both have very mild climates, and they're sort of stops along the coast for counterculture people who are passing through. And in a way, they both developed the homeless rights struggles. And you've been in touch with me and other people here in Santa Cruz for the last decade. You came through Santa Cruz in 1989 when Mitch Snyder was here, and we were fighting to make it legal for people to serve free food.
Uh-huh. At the clock tower.
At the clock tower, exactly. And I came down, of course, and I was working in Santa Barbara for a year trying to make sure McDonald's didn't kick out homeless people. And you brought public attention, were arrested in the demonstration to make sure that the social services improved conditions at the armory so that the hot water, for God's sake, could be turned on so people could wash their hands before meals. And I guess we were able to, after a few arrests and demonstrations, to improve conditions there. Is that... So in a way, you're called Protest Bob, and of course some would say that's because, well, you like to get your name in the papers and you're a publicity hound. Do you feel Protest has actually had significant accomplishments in Santa Barbara, has done real things for people?
Well, I think, it's brought an awareness. I think, there's a few more places that are feeding. I think people are looking a little closer at it. I think that... I think, quotes, the Chamber of Commerce, the media, and the government want to sit there and say, oh, yes, these people are transits and bums and no good. But I think the community is looking a little closer, and I think the community isn't that way. I think they really see that, hey, there's some needs out there. There's some, you know, some people out there that really need help. And, you know, and even when you look at alcoholics or whatever, they're not just bums. They need help, too. And we don't have a medical detox. We have a few acupuncture kind of voodoo things going on, which is all right. But I have a friend, Colin. He's an alcoholic. He's addicted to vodka, and he needs to have a medical detox. And because right now he wants to stop, but there's no place for him to do that. So I think the community really has been touched by some of the things we've done and stood up for. So I think that's important.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, I'm reading the papers this morning. We have this new drug czar and the massive war on drugs. But the most damaging, vicious, and lethal drugs of all, alcohol and tobacco, and particularly alcohol, because tobacco, you kill yourself, and you kill the people who breathe your smoke. But, you know, you kill people in cars and with alcohol, and it's the number one killer as far as, you know, accidents goes in our country. And it's, you know, it's not a national priority in any way, the way the politicians are drumming up the drug war against cocaine.
The cigarette deal, they said they're going, oh, they knew that people could get addicted back in the 60s on cigarette smoke. Well, they get addicted to alcohol, you know, but anyway, crazy.
Sure. I mean, you've been around so long, and you really have so much to report, because you've been in this struggle for so many years. I'd like to spend time kind of going over each and every point, but this is your long-distance call. We're in the middle of the day. I know you're not a rich man, and you really called because you wanted to propose a particular idea. And unfortunately, there's only me and the listeners, and hopefully there are a lot of listeners, but I can't guarantee that. But at least we'll be playing this tape in San Francisco as well. But what was this idea that you have for bringing the issue of homeless rights to the public attention?
Well, it was a couple of people and myself that have thought of this. There was a homeless get-together back in Sacramento just a few years ago, so I went up there and I said, hey, you know, the only thing they're going to listen to, which they listened to in Santa Barbara, was a boycott. Because we went up down State Street and handed out flyers and said, stop the treatment of the homeless, what you're doing, boycott Santa Barbara, or boycott State Street. And within 2 days, the government officials and the Chamber of Commerce backed down and started listening to us. So a few of us feel that we need to, here's just one slogan, you know, California's law against sleep is unjust law. Please boycott California until a just law is enacted. Thank you.
Indeed, you used to have a bumper sticker in Santa Barbara. I still have one that says, a law against sleep is an unjust law.
Right.
And well, it's interesting you should propose this on a statewide level, because many of the complaints of city government, whether it be Santa Barbara city government or Santa Cruz, and recently I've been calling Santa Barbara to get some sort of ammunition to get our own sleeping ban dealt with now that we have this massive protest at City Hall, but the complaints of the local cities is, oh, we can't give human rights to people, because then, since nobody else does, all the people wanting human rights would come to our town. You know, we can't let people sleep without harassment, because then everybody would come here to sleep. And you pointed out that didn't happen in 1986 when the law was relaxed, and that's what we've continued to try to point out. I don't think it happened in Miami, where the law currently is more relaxed by federal court order. But really, the paranoia of the city officials is immense, as you pointed out. Maybe what we do need is a statewide approach. And indeed, I think the California advocates on a statewide level tried to get some change in the state lodging law, which is 647I, about 2 or 3 years ago. And that one went down in flames. And I proposed to the mayor, city council members here in Santa Cruz, that there be an action between a number of cities, essentially decriminalizing sleeping in certain areas at certain times and so forth. And so I think your idea of a statewide pressure and pointing out that California, the state, bears indeed responsibility, as do the local communities, seems to me to be on target, you know.
Well, one of the ideas we want to do is take a march. And so even though, if we were to have, let's say, 7 people, and they started in Santa Cruz and marched in that area, and then when they get around to Sacramento and come down, maybe down through Fresno, and then maybe hopscotch or carpool over to Santa Barbara, and then walk from there with a sign saying, you know, a law against sleep, and boycott California until a just law is enacted, and have a please and thank you, and get the message out there, and walk down to the Republican convention, which is going to be August 12th to the 15th. So as we were doing this march, we would be getting the word out to boycott California and going to each city as we go, and then there might be a spot that we might have to carpool. Right now they're doing the Olympic torch. They're kind of moving it around and stuff. So the big thing is get the message out there.
Now, you had a demonstration in Santa Barbara regarding that Olympic thing. What was that all about?
Well, it was basically the Olympic torch was here yesterday, and a few of us have been working quite hard for public restrooms downtown. And I ran for mayor against the mayor because of public restrooms, saying, "Hey, we need them. You know, it's just it's out of control down here. So people come down on Friday and Saturday night, and there's not enough restrooms." So yesterday we took a toilet plunger and put dry ice in it, and was walking around where the train depot was at, and a lot of people were, you know, kind of laughing and said, "Hey, this is good. There's the torch," and the Olympic torch was about an hour late. So here we were, quote, the torch.
With the substitute torch.
Yeah. And it was funny, and people, you know, saw what was happening. So then when the mayor spoke and gave the keys to the city to the people from the Olympic Committee, I sat there and yelled a few times, "We need more public restrooms downtown." And so that was the demonstration. But it was fun in some ways, but people got the message. Everyone knows that we need public restrooms downtown, and they're not going to do anything. Just like they know that people need to sleep, and there needs to be some more humane treatment from the county and the city instead of rescue missions and Salvation Armies. There needs to be sleeping, quote, areas, or rescind some of the sleeping laws as long as you're not hurting anybody. You know, if you sleep in your vehicle and you move every 72 hours, or if you sleep in some place and you're not bothering anybody, and if you were to get some complaints, the police could come along and say, "Hey, we need you to move in a couple of days because some people have complained." Then you move and keep the place clean. You know, just there's ways we could all work together instead of having this this war that's going on.
It's a class war,
rich,
I think.
And poor. Hmm?
Yeah, a rich and poor war. You know, we have a situation here in Santa Cruz where they passed a minor modification of the sleeping ban last summer, which made it legal for you to park your vehicle in a church parking lot up to three vehicles if you're under the auspices of this program, if the church agrees. But unfortunately, the very church which locates the head of the program has now told all the people to leave as of 2 days ago. The Garfield Park Church here in Santa Cruz has told homeless people to be on their way, even though there is essentially no legal place for the overwhelming majority of homeless people to sleep. So we at City Hall have decided to, essentially we're looking for creative ways of bringing to public attention the absurdity of the current situation.
Right.
And, I'm really kind of, it's too bad you don't have an opportunity to speak with Dragon Sard Dan Hopkins here and Pat Ring and others. One of our demonstrators, Shit Kicker Sean, is in jail. He's been jailed for sleeping repeatedly in the last 65 days. Now they really want to send him up the river. They're going to prosecute people under the misdemeanor provisions of the sleeping ban here, so that if you sleep twice in 48 hours, you can go to jail for up to 6 months. Which is going to be interesting to see how far they want to take this. They've had this law for 20 years, but they've never used that provision of the law. And of course, then I have my own case coming up, which you know about, which is the serve food in San Francisco, and I was convicted and got 2 months in jail for that one. That should be coming up on probably the 16th, although we're waiting for the exact date. It was going to be.
That?
Well, we appealed it all the way to the California Supreme Court, and it went back down. They said no way. And now we're going to go straight to the judge who gave the original sentence and say, modify the sentence, with the support of the district attorney, I should add. But the problem is this judge is not a town judge, and he's as likely to tell us to, shit and go blind and forget it, because he's made his ruling. And also because I continue to serve free food to people. I don't care if, they want to put me in jail for it. That's obviously an attempt to eliminate poverty visibly from public areas. And you have your own Food Not Bombs in Santa Barbara, right?
Right. They serve at 3 o'clock in front of City Hall on Saturdays.
And are they? Do they get kind of a turnout, or what's happening with them?
I've been down there a few times, and I have a family, so I haven't really been down there that much. But there was always, about 15 people, and they have nice vegetarian meals they serve, and some people bring some other things, and it's real peaceful and. I don't think it's all that big right now.
What about surrounding communities? I'm sorry, Bob. What about surrounding communities? Do you find that there's a push against homeless people in the other communities around Santa Barbara, like Ventura, Carpinteria, Santa Maria, San Luis Obispo? Have you heard much from those cities?
No, but there's the feel in the air that, put the signs up and keep them moving. And if you look, homeless, kind of get on your case and... But see, Santa Barbara does have a rescue mission and some feeding programs, so people do congregate here because of that, per se. And even the last mayor said, hey, if we didn't have these programs, we wouldn't have this homeless problem. That's probably true. If you weren't feeding people and trying to help people. But I think that's, you know, Santa Barbara's community. They are a loving and caring community. So,
well, you had lots of homeless people in the early 80s. You guys were getting hassled big time by the police, and you didn't have some wonderful feeding programs at that time, did you?
No, but there still was always, you know, Salvation Army, the Rescue Mission. But now they've upped it to the Catholic Charities doing a real good feeding with some churches and stuff get together. And
have you heard of people who literally come to Santa Barbara because of the services, or is that...
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think people are, you know, when we walked across the United States, I was astounded that people in New York or back east where it was cold stayed there during the winter. And I even asked them, why are you here? Why don't you go to California? I mean, everyone's afraid you're coming to come. He goes, this is my home. I live here. During the winter, I live in a car, or I live, you know, in a building, or I live someplace. But, you know, they might be poor or without a home, but still, that's their home. They live there, you know, and they've got their friends, and they've got the, that's their world. They don't plan on coming to Santa Cruz or Santa Barbara. There, you know, there's a few probably, but not, you know, the mass hordes that, you know, they're afraid of. Yes, if we sit there and are compassionate to people, somebody will come. You know? Well, somebody will, but it's not like, you know, thousands. That people live in their home and their cities and their places where their friends are at.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any intention of really coming out.
So this magnet idea is something of a myth or a false fear that officials and some property owners have, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I think it's almost like this whole thing of the gang thing. I think, you know, there's some kids out there and there's some gangs, but to sit there and yell gang every time you see somebody who's dressed a little bit different or, you know, some kids are together, I mean, it's crazy.
And inaccurate.
Hmm?
And not true, in fact.
No. But on this other point of doing this march or whatever, I would like to come up to Santa Cruz if people are interested and, you know, possibly start in Santa Cruz, or if we wanted to, we could start in Santa Barbara. We need to, quote, in my opinion, you know, be there before the Republican convention, and that would be our destination, which would be August 12th and all. And so a few of us are thinking, you know, let's get together in the next couple of weeks. I have a telephone number you could reach me, or we could set up a time to come up to Santa Cruz and talk to some people. Or,
that would be great.
Or whatever. You know, I'd like to do this. I think the time is right. You know, with this gas shortage, people are going to be sitting there saying, oh, no, they might not come to California. Well, you know what? Be compassionate to people that, you know, don't have a home. And we're not saying, hey, give us the world. We're saying, hey, let them sleep. You know, it's a very simple thing. People need to sleep. And, you know, we're not trying to sit there and be bullies. We're not trying to act like they do. So I would, you know, like to give my phone number out. I'd like to set up some meetings in Santa Cruz and come up the next week.
Why don't you give out your phone number, and why don't you consider coming north any time? The sooner the better. I'm sure there are people around the clock at City Hall doing the sleep out, although I fear there are going to be worse legal attacks on them, I should say, unconstitutional attacks on them, but they're going to try to clear them away. So give out your phone number, Bob Hansen. Let's see what...
Area code
805
966
3592. So it's 966-3592. This is a message phone?
Bob Hansen. The call to march and boycott California until we have some just actions, you know, on the sleeping laws. It shouldn't be the way it is. It shouldn't be a law against sleep. And there should be negotiations, and we should, you know, try to live harmonious with each other instead of what's happening. And I call for a boycott of California until that's done. You know, not to sit there and be mean-spirited, but in the spirit of let's come to some conclusions how we can live with each other.
Let's change things.
Yeah.
Well, so we can hope that maybe you might consider coming north for a few days to check us out.
I would like to have, you know, possibly yourself set up a meeting within the next week or so. Give me a call, and I can come up. So, but I, you know, I would want to discuss this idea, but I would be willing to support any other thing. But I don't feel they're going to do anything until we at least play some cards that they can recognize that
there's some power on our side.
Serious, yeah. Right now, you can sit there and say you want. Oh, we should be able to sleep. They're not going to listen to it. What they are afraid of is somebody saying, hey, get the word out that, you know what, they won't let people in California sleep if you don't have a home. And so please support our boycott until we can come up with some negotiations with them.
Well, why don't we arrange this right now? I can't speak for the other people, but I know they're around continually, and I know they'd like to meet with you. Would you be willing to come up? When's the soonest you can come up comfortably?
Well, next weekend is Mother's Day, And that'd be the 12th, Sunday the 12th.
And you're one of the biggest mothers of all, Bob.
Hey, wham. Or the next weekend, the 18th or 19th.
So. How about the weekend of the 12th?
The weekend of the 12th, okay.
Or sooner, if you, whatever, you know,
well, whenever. I can't make it any sooner. Right now it is the...
Come up the weekend of the 12th. Now, I can't, I will look for a place for you to crash. I'd like to introduce you to at least one activist who just walked into the studio. She's not a sleeper. Well, she's not an illegal sleeper, but she's been doing press releases. Her name is, I call her Beggarbacker Becky Johnson. Beggarbacker, meet Beaning Bob Hansen.
How do you like these nicknames?
Oh, you know what his nickname is, don't you?
No.
The Teddy Bear.
Teddy Bear, but it doesn't start with.
I know. Well.
Yeah.
He's a big old teddy bear. So.
Well, it sure wants those hugs all the time.
Hmm?
So you're looking for a crash pad, eh?
Oh no, I have a van.
A parking spot.
I can sleep at City Hall. I think we should have our meeting.
That's the best place. That is the best sleeping accommodations in Santa Cruz on this lovely day, this lovely May, is Santa Cruz City Hall. I mean, I think that it's time for everybody to grab a blanket and a sleeping bag and some, caffeine-free coffee. You know, we don't want jangled nerves. Well, we're sleeping down at City Hall and reminding Mayor Rotkin and Councilman Scott Kennedy that homeless people have no legal place to sleep and risk $162 camping ban ticket every time they do. And this is just should not be. And it should not be here in Santa Cruz.
And it's probably happening all across the United States. It happens all across California. It happens in Santa Barbara. There's a law in the books. Anytime they want to use that law, anytime they want to use that tool, they can put it out and write you a ticket, and you've got to go to court.
I mean, look, here's what the consequence. If people start sleeping all the time, we're going to have down on West Cliff Drive, people come, they park their car, they look at the ocean, they go, wow, this is cool, and they go to sleep, and they just stay there forever, right? Because it's so beautiful, and they're so happy. So let's put a little sign up there on West Cliff Drive, no sleeping zone. But have it be legal unless otherwise prohibited. I mean, duh, let's have some common sense. And maybe the people need to remind...
Signs here in Santa Barbara saying no parking between 2 and 5.
I must end this.
Yeah, okay.
Come to City Hall. I'll
be
see
there
you there.
City Hall.
Yeah, Bob, you know, that's... So we'll hope to see you, and I will inform the mayor you're coming to town, and I will invite him to have to join all of us to talk about the issue. He claims that he actually, I don't know if he was part of the actual conference, but the then Mayor John Laird, who I called Lord Laird back in 1987, called Sheila Lodge, who was your mayor then, and they had a long conference along with the city attorney to talk about what it would be like to imagine, you know, fear of fears, terror of terrors, a city without a sleeping ban, as Santa Barbara to some extent was in 1987. And I'm going to try to get testimony from Rob Rosenthal and other people in your city that there was no massive influx of people. And I hope that you can talk directly to the city council. I think actually there will be a city council meeting the second Tuesday in May. So let's see. You'll be up there by that time. You'll be able to talk at the city council meeting if you're around.
Yeah, I could stick around for a few days.
Great.
That second Tuesday would be the 14th.
That's correct.
Okay. So I could probably try to stick around for a few days. I'll try to get up Saturday.
Okay.
On the 11th.
All right.
I could probably stay for a few days.
All right, well, I will probably not go to jail until the 16th when they will probably jail me for 2 months. We're still waiting to, maybe they'll drop the sentence to suspended. We're hoping for that. But in any case, you'll be able to meet with all the bigwigs, the heavy hitters, the light hitters, and they'll be able to meet with you. And you should bring along as many of your crew as you can.
There's probably going to be about only three of us or so, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So we'll see you then, Bob. And if you want to, you know, get back in touch with me, give me a call, and I'll call you next time, and I'll foot the bill.
Okay, no biggie, but I'll talk to you in person next Saturday.
All right, then.
Not this Saturday, but the 11th. Okay.
Come to City Hall and call me at 423-HUFF when you get into town.
Okay.
All right, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Well, we're into the last minute of our show here. Our next talk show host is discreetly arranging for her program to happen. We have had we were able to play you three tapes or selections from three tapes. National Center for Law and Poverty's Maria F. I don't want to mispronounce her last name. We had Ed Fry giving you his part of a description of a rather longer tape on the Scott Hager case. And we also, who was the last person we had? Well, we were going to have Matt Smith talk about Dayton Food Not Bombs. We've got lots of stuff to talk about. We hope to have an interview with Kate Wells on Lisa Ann's case, where she and Cloud was taken away for assault because he essentially wanted to tape record what was going on. When a cop came up to him and the cop demanded the tape recorder was stolen. Hey, it's noon. It's high noon. We got to leave. We're going to be returning on Monday at 10 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock in the morning, you can show up either on your phone line, 427-3772-96.3 FM. Give us a call. Or if you can't for some reason be there or you want to give us a longer statement, you can give me a call at 423-HUFF. Leave that on my phone line. I'll put it on the air. Or show up at 945 on Monday at Taco Bell downtown, Pacific and Laurel Street, and we will take you to our secret new studio since our Free Radio Santa Cruz is moving, and we have to get out of here soon. So who knows? Even you may not know where we're moving to. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, I'm going to turn the mic over now to that woman about radio stations who will perhaps identify herself. Thanks for being with me.
Hi, it's Lorelei, and it's noon, and it's Friday, and I'm so excited. I'm going to start off my show with the Devil Grunge of Pearl Jam.
Could I learn your voice one last time? Daily mind you, be stood. Be my time.